Well, do indeed keep your Bible open. That'd be really helpful. Hosea 14, page 910. And we'll dive straight in. Mark has prayed for us. This morning is our final look at the book of the prophet Hosea, isn't it? And over the last few weeks, we've seen how the heartbreak and the pain and the bitterness of Hosea and Gomer's broken marriage is a mirror of the broken relationship between God and his people Israel. And I don't know if you've just looked at chapter 13, but if you have, you'll be thinking, how on earth can they ever come back? It looks impossible. And there may be people here this morning who are feeling like that. But Hosea is quite clear, whoever you are and whatever you feel, there is a way back to God. That is what this chapter's saying. And this is one of the big things that point to the gospel. There's a lot of gospel in Hosea. It's all here, all the outlines. And it's pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of it's pointing to him. So here in 14, the Lord graciously gives hope to his people who are wandering. And he does three things in this chapter. He calls them back, he shows them the way, and he encourages them to return. Three things. And the first one is called to return to the Lord. Called to return. Despite everything that Israel's done, God is graciously still standing there and holding the door open for them to come back. Return, he says, verse 1 there. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Back in chapter 11, Hosea had said to God's people, you are bent on going away from the Lord. It's as if God was behind them and they were willfully going away from him. And here, God very graciously says to them, through the prophet, turn round and come back. That is repentance. And we just need to be clear that repentance is not about what you feel, it's about what you do. God is calling people to do something. Quite a number of years ago, at the secondary school where I was, on Thursday afternoon, the tennis courts would be covered with uniformed cadets. And we would often be doing drill, practicing drill. And it's really quite fun. One of the really spectacular things was when a platoon of men, or boys as we were, was marching in one direction. And whoever was in charge would shout, about turn! And the whole platoon would turn and go back the other way. And within 4 seconds, and 4 short steps, they'd all be turned round together and be going back the other way. And that is what God is saying here to his people and to us. And maybe someone here this morning, and sin is a problem, and you're aware of it, and it's getting worse, and you don't know what to do. And there may be a Christian here, and you have strayed from the Lord, and you think there's no way back. Hosea is quite clear. Whoever you are, whatever you feel, there is a way back. This gracious call, God's call, return, return to the Lord, it echoes right down the years to us today. But people say, don't they, and we will be thinking maybe, well, what do I do? How do I do it? And Hosea goes on in this chapter, verses 2 and 3, to show us what true repentance is like. He shows the way back home. See verse 2. Verse 2. Take words with you and return to the Lord. You've got to have a conversation with God. You've got to come to God consciously and speak to him. Words must be intentional and thoughtful and humble and in his presence and speak to him. And whether we do it out loud or whether we do it quietly in our heart, it doesn't matter. But we need to have a conversation with God. And first of all, the words that ask for forgiveness, aren't there? We must ask for forgiveness. Still verse 2, say to him, forgive all our sins. And that's painful. It means that we've got to admit that we are guilty. It means that we have no excuses and we're admitting that. And we are accepting that we are to blame and no one else. And it's not God's fault and it's no one else's fault. It's my fault. And we're wanting fellowship with God to be restored. And then there are words of commitment still in verse 2. Out of gratitude, we will be praying, receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. And that is praising God, acknowledging him, acknowledging that he is God. He's the one who made us and gives us life and looks after us, praising him. And then there are words, aren't there, that confess dependence. Two big things here. Ask forgiveness, confess dependence. Look down at verse 3. And Hosea was speaking to God's people in his day. The political situation, Assyria was the one that the people were saying, we need a political alliance with Assyria to protect us. And Hosea says, you need to say, Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our hands have made. And it's about turning away from every political panacea, turning away from that, turning away from power, military power. Believe it or not, horses were the smart weapons of the day, and turning away from idolatry, from other religions, from all the things we look to for satisfaction instead of looking to God. Turning away and turning to the end of verse 3. Have a look. Like orphans, completely dependent. That's what an orphan is, completely dependent. For in you the fatherless find compassion. And it describes that sense of helplessness that everyone who is truly repentant must feel. Helpless. Last year we had a holiday in France, camping holiday, driving around. Went right down to the south and back again. And on the way back, we needed to go. We thought we'd go a different way, never been this area. And we needed to get through the mountains of the Ardèche. Never been there before. And I had a map and I tried plotting the course. And I thought we knew where we were. And I woke up the second day and looked out. And I realized we weren't where I thought we were at all. But we were okay. We had a guide. We had Emily Jane's voice on our sat-nav, you know, and she's very reassuring. And she led us infallibly to the town we needed to be at, to Saint-Étienne, and we got there safely. And it's like that here in verses 2 and 3. This is God's guide to repentance, and it's infallible because before a sinner is seeking God, God is seeking you. If you are seeking God, God has begun by seeking you first. And therefore, if you follow this guide, it will lead you infallibly home to him. And that is deeply reassuring, isn't it? But then, the next section, there are people, aren't there? And we're like it. Some of us are obstinate. Some of us are timid. Some of us are doubtful. Does God really mean this? Is this really true? In this next section, God is giving, through Hosea, to his people enticing glimpses of what home will be like if they return, what they're missing. Home will be happy. There's tremendous encouragement here. Home will be a happy place. See what God says in verse 4. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. For my anger has turned away. And these words are packed full. And some of us may be afraid. Some of us may be afraid that years of distance from God have left us with old habits and damage to our soul that we're aware of. Here in verse 4, God promises, he's promising to undo all of that. And if we're worried that we won't be able to live up to his standards in the future, there's more. He's saying here that he will break the power of sin in our lives and erase its effects increasingly. He will thoroughly heal. That's what he's saying. I will heal their waywardness. And those who return don't need to be anxious. There won't be any recriminations. We're always afraid of that, aren't we, when we go to repent? But no, he promises, my anger is turned away. When God says it, it's true. I will love them freely. Home will be happy, and life will be good. When you're facing major change, you do worry, don't you? What will I have to give up? Will I really be better off? And repentance, true repentance, turning to God, I reckon is the biggest thing that any of us can ever do. It's the biggest change in your life. It turns everything round the other way. But God promises Israel, promises us in verse 5 to 7. And it's full of images that Israel then would have recognized, living where they did in the Mediterranean. Verse 5 to 7, have a look. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like the cedar of Lebanon. His splendor will be like an olive tree. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the vine. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful promise. Refreshment, fruitfulness, fragrance, beauty, strength, stability, spreading influence. But still we ask, I guess, some of us, does God really mean that? Does he really care like that? And in verse 8, God himself is speaking directly. And he says to Ephraim, he says, Ephraim, that's the other word for Israel, of course, what more have I to do with idols? Get rid of it completely. I will answer him and care for him. I'm like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. And it's a really emotional appeal here. God is appealing like an anguished lover to the people he loves for the last time to come back to him. Give up idolatry. Come home and be at rest. And God never, never breaks his promises. And many, many people have found that to be true. And many of us here have found that to be true. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, you may know it, is a key verse when you're reading the Old Testament. You need to hold this in your mind. And it's this: for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Jesus Christ is the one through whom all God's promises come to us. There is no way of being right with God and having his blessing apart from Jesus Christ and accepting the benefits of his death on our behalf. They would have looked forward and seen it dimly. We look back and see it clearly. Jesus Christ, the only way. The 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon described it very vividly. This is what he says. That happy day when I found the Saviour was a day never to be forgotten by me. I listened to the word of God, and that precious text led me to the cross of Christ. I can testify that the joy of that day was utterly indescribable. I could have leapt. I could have danced. There was no expression, however fanatical, that would have been out of keeping with the joy of that hour. And he goes on, many days of Christian experience have passed since then, but there's never been one that has had the full exhilaration and sparkling delight which that first day had. So is that what you and I yearn for, do we? Hosea's book, the whole book concludes, verse 9. And verse 9 concludes by saying, walk this way. Here's the way. Walk in it. And there's a note of warning too, isn't there? Have a look with me at verse 9. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who's discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Only walking in God's ways will keep us in a right relationship with him. I'd just like to say this, to end with. Hosea's final words here really are for those far from God, but they're also for every Christian who is disappointed with their level of spiritual experience and enjoyment. And these words in Hosea say there is a way back. There is a way out of spiritual dryness. If you are a Christian and you are feeling that, there is a way back. There is a way to reverse a path that is littered with disobedience and sin. There is a way back. For those far from God and for those who are near, there is a way for us to be nearer still. In every case, the journey is the same. The guidebook's here. The way is described, the way of repentance. And it's guaranteed by God's own promise. And the reception home is waiting. Let's resolve, every one of us, to seek that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its clarity. We thank you for the help it gives us. We thank you for the wonderful encouragement here. We thank you that it's real and it knows what we're like. Thank you for your command to return. We pray for ourselves that we will do that and we will enter into the joy of being at home with you. We pray this in Jesus our Lord. Amen.